This netcast is brought to you by the 8 Days of Geek Network.
All of your ears are belong to us.
On this episode of Error Code 8, can BlackBerry 10 save RIM? AT&T stockholders vote down net neutrality, and Moore's Law takes a kick in the satchel. Stay tuned. Welcome back to another episode of Error Code 8. I'm your host, Jesse Miller, and joining me, as always, the Techno-Gaelic, the man himself, Sam Briggs.
Welcome back.
All right. This week, guys, we've got a couple little news stories for you. I guess that's what you come to us for, not the enlightened banter between Sam and myself. What do you think, Sam? Is that what they come? That's probably what they come here for. We could probably get rid of these notes and just banter back and forth, right?
I would say just wing it.
Yeah.
Live Google searches for that, news.
That's not a good idea. We learned in a previous episode of our old podcast that that was not a good idea. Do not Google the dude's toilet. But I'll tell you what's easiest for you to Google today, and that is BlackBerry 10. And I pose you one question, and it's a yes or no answer. Can BlackBerry 10 save RIM? I know my answer.
You know my answer too.
My answer is I really, really doubt it and will be incredibly surprised if it does. So, no. Anyway.
Save.
If you guys haven't covered or haven't looked at any of the RIM news, or any of the RIM jobs, or I mean news, you know, on their website, at one point I had to point out to some of my Twitter followers that you could actually go on RIM's website and look up their, I forget exactly what they called it, but it's basically their careers and jobs section. And if you go in there like two or three times in the description, it says RIM and jobs right next to each other. I know that's childish to point that out, but I still think it's pretty funny.
I will be checking it out after the podcast.
It's just like when I went into the Steve Jobs book, and on my iPad I highlighted every time hand and jobs was together. Anyway, it's early morning.
I'm sure that that couldn't have been too often, but... I think
there was only like one or two, but it's still there. It's a gem when you find it. Mm-hmm. All right, so BlackBerry 10. All right, this is basically right now. It is in alpha. They have one device running it, and that's the alpha device they handed out to developers and stuff like that. Sam, what do you think about it? Well, let's hear your take on some of the bigger points of BlackBerry 10.
Well, actually, they technically don't even have a device running it, since the device, their developer device, runs Playbook OS 2.0.
Well, that's true.
So, from the screenshots that I actually saw of it, it looks clean, the user interface. I'm excited that there's it has the potential to offer full multitasking. Whether or not they're going to allow it to be interactive, we didn't really get to see too much in regards to that. But in reality, if you've seen WebOS and if you've seen Windows Phone, merge those two together and you have their operating system. So for those of you out there who were really waiting out on something spectacular, sadly the competition's pretty much beat them to it. So I don't see this being the savings grace that RIM is looking for.
Very true. Some of the big features that have been talked about here are, one of the huge ones that made it to the news is the camera app on the BlackBerry. It has basically like a rewind where you take a picture and you hold the camera on your subject for a few seconds. Then you take your picture. And if they've looked away or blinked or anything like that, you can actually select their face on the picture and rewind through the few seconds you held the camera on them. This is pretty handy if you have a group shot and you want everyone to look at you or everyone needs to be smiling. You can go by face and rewind or fast forward through that scene to find the perfect moment. This gives, you know, bad photographers a chance to do what they're supposed to be doing. Now, there was an app, I think it was called Scalato, that was shown doing this a while back. And I'm thinking, I don't know if maybe BlackBerry bought the rights to that or what the deal was, but it did pretty much the exact same thing, and it looked exactly the same.
Yeah, I would actually expect for them to be showing it this early that they now have either ownership rights or an exclusivity agreement until a certain point in time for that technology.
Yeah.
Because Android would gobble that up.
Oh, yeah.
30 seconds after the
the Scalato app itself, I think if you go to their website and look at their demo video, it is on an Android phone.
Yeah.
It looks like it's on one of the HTCs. All right. Next thing they have, this is a big thing they were touting, is their touch keyboard with gesture support. It's a touch keyboard. There's nothing really special about it. I mean, it's just like the billion touch keyboards that are out for Android. I mean, did you see anything special about this keyboard?
They did a really pathetic job of showing it, but the only unique thing about it is that it is supposed to be an intelligent keyboard, which, of course, that's pre-alpha software.
I have never seen an intelligent keyboard in my life.
Not a touch one.
I mean, come on, autocorrect. Let's go. Let's not even get into autocorrect and how many messages it butchers. Intelligent keyboard, my ass. All right.
The thing is, for the average user, that means I. To be completely honest, this is RIM. They are known for having really good software, even if it's not the most up to date or anything else like that. I actually do trust that they could code an intelligent keyboard, and then it's going to get into the hands of the average American who spell your with two letters. Ugh. And all the other crazy, horrible things that Americans do while texting, and the phone will probably commit suicide.
More than likely. You know what would be great? If people who bought BlackBerries actually knew, like average Americans knew how to use them. Because BlackBerry, since its beginning, has had a very special feature, and one of my favorite features of BlackBerry OS, and that is you can go into your settings and set replacement words. Meaning you can set every time I say, in which this was one of mine, every time I put NP and hit the space bar, it will replace NP with no problem. And if someone knows how to use it, you can do all of that stuff. All those shortened concatenations from SMS text messaging can be replaced automatically as soon as you press the space bar. But most people won't go in and take the time to do it.
Nope.
Yeah. This one, this next thing actually caught my attention. The BlackBerry App Generator. This is a good idea. This is hopefully will help them a little bit. One of the big problems with BlackBerries is that they've always been said to not have any good apps. Now, they have good apps, they just don't have a lot of them, and they're rather expensive. So what this does is it basically is a point-and-click interface to develop apps for the BlackBerry platform. You can turn content into apps and all kinds of stuff. It basically makes apps much, much easier. And these are the app generator will be able to create apps for anything OS 5 and higher. That's a pretty good range. I mean, I'd be stressed to say that there's probably no BlackBerries. I mean, I don't know if there'd be any BlackBerries in use that are 5 or lower. You know, I mean, I think wasn't BlackBerry 5 when the full color graphics started popping up and we got off those little blue BlackBerries?
Correct.
So yeah, I don't I don't think you'd I think you'd be hard pressed to find a BlackBerry, you know, device that wasn't on 5. So that looks good. Hopefully they'll bring in some more, you know, some more. Oh, well, you know, BlackBerry 5 doesn't look that old.
Oh, wait. You know what? 5, they jumped real quick to 7.
Yeah, they did. 5,
that would have been the 80. Was it the 8310s that yeah. had the BlackBerry 5?
83 series. Even the 9700
could have 5 thought about on that. It. Wow, the 90. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I know, right? I had the 9700, and it came. Yeah, okay, well, yeah.
This is what happens whenever we podcast they jumped, in the morning.
Yeah, they jumped 6 really fast.
Yeah, they did. Well, it was because that was whenever they were being eaten alive, and 7 was supposed to bring out the more fluid interface along with better app support on the BlackBerry system. And so they jumped it. Didn't do anything.
Yep.
Yeah.
And OS numbers only worry people who actually have the phone. And so it's few true. People have BlackBerries now. Which I'm, you know, it sounds like I'm really against RIM, and I'm not, because I've owned BlackBerries, and they are on hardware specs. And just the way the hardware works with the operating system, they are second to none. I mean,
I will agree with this.
I've never found a phone built as well and that works as well as a BlackBerry. The problem is that it just doesn't have the apps or the feature set to keep it, you know, new and exciting in the marketplace. You get bored with a BlackBerry really fast. But you know, I've actually, if they had a mobile, my big thing is with Android is that I can change and modify pretty much everything. If BlackBerry allowed me to do that a little easier, I would be just peachy. But inherently, their security scheme does not allow that. You know, so.
Even more so than Apple.
Exactly. BlackBerry is more locked down than Apple when it comes to their operating systems. So, that kind of sucks. So, did I miss anything that really needed to be touched on that one?
The only other thing that I want to mention is that the Dev Alpha device, in regards to hardware, only the rough specs are known, 16 gigs internal storage, gig of RAM, et cetera, but it apparently has a very powerful display. 1280 by
768.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And which, for the size of the device and everything, is actually pretty awesome. It would rank it up there with the other highest end devices on the market and the devices coming to market. So if this is an idea of what the BlackBerry 10 hardware is going to look like come the end of the year, then I don't think in the hardware race, BlackBerry is going to be too far behind. The thing is that I don't see their current market of customers are not the ones who care about hardware. They care about security. And they're going to be... Oh, what's that?
And, I mean, this Alpha device has no keyboard. It's a full touchscreen. And when I think BlackBerry, my number one favorite thing in the whole world is a BlackBerry keyboard. So
actually, yesterday I actually was specifically thinking that you were going to say this is a horrible operating system and etc. simply because it was all virtual keyboard, because that's all they talked about. He never mentioned the physical keyboard at all. I was thinking it's gone, totally gone. Physical keyboards are officially dead. And then they actually had to put up a blog post specifically stating that there will be devices with physical keyboards in the future. And I'm like, wow, apparently everybody in the world just flipped out. You know,
I did, because, you know, that was BlackBerry's only saving grace with me. I mean, You get muscle memory. You're able to type on an on-screen keyboard pretty well. But you know what? I can type almost as fast on a BlackBerry as I can on a computer. It was the most efficient communication tool I have ever owned. And like I said, if it allowed me to customize just a little bit more, I would probably go back and buy a BlackBerry. Because, like, I don't play games on my cell phone. You know, it is a communications tool. It is a management tool, and that's all it is to me. My cell phone does not... I don't really do any of the stuff that most people do on their phones. You know, I don't even really take pictures with my phone. So, when it comes right down to it, a BlackBerry is great for me. The problem is that, for instance, mobile hotspot. You know, I'm one of those people that might or might not have cracked his OS to have a mobile hotspot when he's not necessarily supposed to. But, you know, it's on a BlackBerry, you can't do that. Not to my knowledge, anyway. And if you're listening to this, if you're within the sound of my voice, and you know how to do that, please, for the love of all God, text me. You know, send me a message, please. Because that is like the one holdout for me on BlackBerry. And I would have bought a 9900 on day one if I could have guaranteed being able to unlock that hotspot. So. All right, next on our list.
Oh, one last thing.
Oh, yeah.
I wish companies would stop stealing all of WebOS's features.
Yeah. It's funny.
But I
WebOS is small.
I feel good in the fact that eventually, 2 years down the road, apparently every operating system is just going to be WebOS. They're all just going to have all the features, you know. It's going to be Apple, which is still iOS, but almost functions like WebOS. And it's going to be Android, which... is pretty much just going to function like WebOS. And there's going to hopefully be BlackBerry 10 or 11 or 12, whatever they're on, and it's going to function like WebOS.
You're not bitter or anything, are you?
Only slightly. The thing is that, you know, I was trying to watch these videos on my Palm Pre, and I wasn't allowed to because I don't have Flash. And
ouch.
Palm Pre's aren't very good at playing HTML video. So,
well, you know, the iPhone doesn't have Flash either. No,
oh, this is true. And come next year, nothing will.
Pretty much. I think it'd be best if the web just got rid of Flash. Really.
I'm gonna say, well, you have to remember this too. BlackBerry 10 is not going to be advertised that they have Flash.
Ooh.
Because they will not.
Hmm. Interesting. Everybody's teaming up against Adobe.
That was a big point for Ant. Huh? What's that?
I said everybody's teaming up against Adobe.
Oh, yeah. Well, they kind of did that to themselves.
Well,
they made shoddy software.
Yeah, it kills batteries. It really does.
Oh, yeah.
That's my worst problem with it, is just Flash murders batteries. And I covet battery life over all other things, so... Which is why I'm loving my iPad, by the way. Just as a Jesse got an iPad update, battery life's unbelievable. Anyway, okay, this one's pretty fun. AT&T stockholders got to take votes, and they had several different things on the voting board. I'm not going to go through them all, because a lot of them are pretty useless to us. Two things that were very, very funny. Well, one of them's funny, one of them's... actually slightly misfortunate. You've got the fact that all the stockholders got together and pretty much voted to re-elect the entire board of directors for AT&T. Sorry, you are the weakest link. Goodbye. Every friggin' one of them. So, yeah. We get a whole new board of directors. So maybe we'll get some changes going around that place. I doubt it. Because money is where it's at. The second thing, and this is really what I wanted to talk about, was that a bill, I guess I don't even know what they would necessarily call it in a stockholders meeting, but anyway, a proposition to follow the tenets of net neutrality. So in order to, you know, basically to completely allow any traffic at any speed on their network, period, to never, you know, shape their network in any way. That was put forward, and it was voted down by 94.1% of their shareholders. 94.1. Are there 94.1 greedy bastards out there? Is that what's going on here? That's a stupid, it's a stupid question, well, yeah. But
who gets to own stock nowadays? It's not the tech geeks out there that care about that stuff. Pretty much, if you're a major shareholder of a corporation, you probably work for a corporation. In which case, you're generally all for being the guy who let this other company run the way it wanted to run, so that other company will let your company run the way you want it to run. Everybody's rubbing each other's backs.
It's just sickening.
Yes.
The fact that this got voted down. I mean, I want to go Incredible Hulk. Hulk smash.
Yeah.
It just aggravates me at my very core, because net neutrality is such a great idea. Leave your networks alone. Let all traffic go over them. And bada bing. I mean, the first company to shape their network bad enough for people to notice is going to catch so much crap. It is going to be a PR nightmare. So just agree to net neutrality and leave it. You know, you'll be better off for it. The first company that for sure says 100% we are dedicated to net neutrality, I guarantee you, you're going to get a lot of customers just because of that. You know, I mean, of course, if you say it's net neutrality, a lot of people are not going to know what you're talking about. But if you explain it, then you've become, you know, the one company that's doing something that sounds like it's good for the consumer. Whatever that's worth nowadays. All right, next on our list. This one's just a little blurb. Nothing too important here. It's the Sprint Galaxy Nexus. It had some connection issues, and now finally they are starting to get them, you know, figured out and fixed and ready to go. What was happening was it was actually losing its data connection quite often, and not connecting to the network, not activating correctly. It just had kind of a myriad of different connection woes. And it was kind of, you know, it was shoddy on the connection side. So the Galaxy Nexus for Sprint is now getting a software update that will fix all of these connection problems. All of them. So, I mean, the HSPA Plus model already got fixed, so now the Sprint LTE model is next. It's, like I said, it's probably mainly radio and modem updates more than it is operating system updates, because the Galaxy Nexus already has 4.04, which was the absolute newest version of Ice Cream Sandwich. So if you have a Galaxy Nexus on Sprint, start hitting that update button, because your connectivity problems could be going away as soon as you reboot the phone from your update. Not a lot to talk about there, but that needed to be said. That's a PSA.
Yeah, that's actually something I'm starting to worry about in regards to the software updates. It seems that only flagship devices are being pushed these fast updates quickly in a timely manner. And that means, that's bad for Android, but like in the Windows Phone world, Microsoft has generally been very consistent in providing their updates, but nowhere near as fast as Nokia provided the update for their device. Apple's obviously handles their own updates. Android, we only ever hear about major updates, fast fixes for these problems on flagship devices. We don't hear about it about the bargain bin, you know, free Android phone. So it's looking more and more in the Android market that if you're planning on picking up a phone that you want to work consistently for 2 years, buy a flagship device. Spend the $200. Do it.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it's getting, you know. And if you really want it to be supported for as long as humanly possible, get the Google device.
Yes.
You know, the Galaxy phones. My phone has been, you know, updated so many times since I got it. And a lot of these updates, I don't even expect them to happen. And then all of a sudden it says, hey, you have an update. So, yeah. Flagship phones, Google phones, those are your best bet.
Don't buy WebOS phones because they will never get an update.
No. I mean, can you even buy WebOS phones anymore?
Yeah, you can still on Woot and other discount bargain
on Woot
websites.
First of all, you bought your phone from a site called Woot.
Actually, have you ever bought from there before?
I have not. I almost did when they had a deal on the touchpad, and I didn't.
Well, they still have deals on touchpads fairly regularly.
Really?
Yep.
I wonder what Woot's got on it today.
Or something like that.
Today's Woot, Velocity Micro T301 7-inch Cruise Tablet for $60.
Well, not that good of a deal. Well, that's
40,
not bad.
That's $40 off, right?
Yep.
It's refurbished, though. Is there only one Woot on Woot? Is that what the deal is here? Or?
Yeah, it's pretty much whatever random Woot of the day happens to be.
Oh. Yeah.
Wonder. I can let you know when the touchpad pops back up, because it will. They still have more of them.
I'll have to keep an eye on this, maybe.
It's a fun little website. They have an app. It sends the Woot of the day to your notifications.
Nice, because that's what I need. Wow. Anyway, so this next story is actually your story, and it's basically telling Moore's Law to go suck it. So, first of all, explain to the good people and myself what Moore's Law is, and then tell us why he should go suck it.
Well, Moore's Law states, in regards to computer processing power and hardware, that the number of transistors that you can place on a integrated circuit board will double every 2 years. And that has been updated a little bit by David House from Intel, that it actually will double about every 1.5 years. The problem is that our processors, if any of you have noticed, are getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and the processes themselves are becoming larger and larger and larger. What that does is that you get a very small surface area and a whole lot of heat, a lot of running heat. Well, the physicist, I'm going to slaughter your name like I slaughter everybody's name. What would you say that's Michio Kaku?
Michio Kaku.
Michio? Yeah, Michio Kaku.
That's the way I'm going to say it.
Yep, well, Kaku has put two and two together and realize that in about 10 years, Moore's Law is done. The level of heat versus the size of the processors will become too great, and you'll get catastrophic failure. So the end of silicone is well within our lifetime. So if you own silicone stock, sell.
The way I look at it is, in like 5 years, I'm going to buy a new computer that's powered by the Justice Crystal anyway. So, Crystal of Justice.
The Ion Crystal, remember?
Yeah, Ion Crystal of Justice.
Crystal Ion? I don't remember. what amazes me is that they're actually getting down. They're down to 20 atoms across on their main layer, and they know they can take it down. You know, when they take it down to 5 atoms across, the heat becomes too great. But it also for those of you who are more scientific and enjoy this kind of stuff. The other problem is that it actually breaks a rule in quantum theory. And what that causes, or what that means, is that once you get down to that point, you actually can no longer find the electron to provide any meaningful information. Yes. So beyond the heat issue causing catastrophic failure, even if you created some system to where the device would survive the heat level being off given per its size, you still wouldn't be able to read any information from it. You still would not be able to extract anything useful out of it because you just broke a law of quantum theory.
And now you are under arrest from the quantum police.
But for those of you wondering where we're going to get to nowadays or in the future, optical computers, protein computers, DNA computers, molecular computers, quantum computers. We've talked about two of those, the DNA computers and quantum computers, before on this episode. Or on, not this episode, but on this podcast. And it's just kind of a game of wait and see who can figure out which way is going to make them the most money is the way that it's going to take off.
Well, of course.
So there's no other predictive ability to it. Which one can be mass produced for the least amount that provides the next level of power that we need? And somehow I have a feeling it's not going to be DNA computers, even though, yes, there's lots of DNA out in the world. I don't see the ability to mass produce that in a meaningful way. So really, optical computers, that's the one I would put my bet on.
Probably.
If this podcast is still around in 10 years, you'll find out if I am right or wrong.
I'll be computing on my optical computer of justice.
Yeah. Of justice! You have to do it in the... it's actually really hard to do in the morning.
I'm sure it is. It sounds like it's hard to do all the time. All right. So now that we've delved headfirst deep into the physics realm, I'm going to cast you a limb and tug you out of that quicksand that is quantum theory. That stuff will make your brain bleed. It's intense. I mean, just, you know, I actually had to talk about or describe Schrodinger's cat to a couple people recently, like in the last month. And I mean, you literally can hurt somebody trying to make them understand it.
Oh yeah.
It's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, it's definitely something that is not for the faint of heart.
No, but if you like things that make you go, what? It's perfect. So check out a couple books and see what happens. I did just read Stephen Hawking's book, The Universe in a Nutshell. Very good book.
I had tried to read that, and I think I'm going to see if it's available as an ebook, and because I think I'd do better in regards to that. Not to say that was boring.
You mean an audiobook? You mean audiobook?
I don't know if I'd take an audio. That would be interesting.
It's actually, I did it both ways. I read it and I listened to the audiobook.
Really?
The audiobook is read by an English guy, but he has one of those English accents that is just so easy to listen to. I'm going to try.
Wanted it read by Hawking.
Oh, God.
That would be amazing.
Couldn't do it. Not ever. All right, here you go. Here's I got a sample of this. This is coming from audible.com. This is where I get most of my audiobooks. And hey, audible.com, Amazon, we'd love to have you pay for an ad instead of us just giving them to you. But anyway, this is from The Universe in a Nutshell. It's a sample from audible.com. You can go there and get it. If you if you're not a member at Audible, it's about $22 to buy this book. If you are, it's $15 or one credit. If you're a member, you know what a credit is. I'm not going to go into it. Here's a sample.
In 1879. But the following year, the family moved to Munich, where his father, Hermann, and uncle Jakob set up a small and not very successful electrical business. Albert was no child prodigy, but claims that he did poorly at school seem to be an exaggeration.
See, that is just so easy to listen to. You got to be careful, though, because that guy can put you to sleep pretty fast.
Yeah, it's you almost lost me there.
His name
just
is...
in a heartbeat.
And tell me there was ever a more British name. Simon Preble. His name's Simon Preble.
Oh.
Yeah. So, go check that out if you're into Audible. Hey, I got a credit. I forgot that I had a credit I could use. I guess I'm going to get an audiobook today. All right. It's easy to get sidetracked in the morning. Extreme morning and extreme evening are not a good time for me. My brain kind of... This last piece, this one actually affects me quite a bit. Well, affects me and then it doesn't. But it's a map that Gizmodo posted of all of the places, like states, all the states that you have to pay taxes on Amazon purchases in. Amazon is one of those places. I mean, I pay for an Amazon Prime membership because I order so much stuff from Amazon. There are a lot of times I'll go into like a Walmart in our area and I'll scan some, I'll find something, you know, a power inverter for $150. It's like, hey, that's a pretty good deal. You know, maybe I should buy that. And I'll scan it with my phone and I'll look it up on Amazon. And if it says it's $150 exactly on Amazon, you know, base price, you're not saving any money, but I will always order it, especially if it's on Prime, because I will get free shipping, so it doesn't cost me anything to get it to my house, and Missouri is one of the states that does not collect sales tax on Amazon, meaning that I have saved myself sales tax like 7 to 13% usually on $150. I mean, it's not a lot, but that adds up really fast over the course of a year, you know? Amazon Prime is $80, I believe. So, between shipping and sales tax, I more than make my money back. So, amongst the states, there are very few of them that collect sales tax from Amazon. Of course, you've got states like Oregon, you know, that, like, Oregon doesn't collect, I don't believe they collect sales tax, period. Do they? Yes.
It's not like it is in most places where it's on every little damn thing.
Yeah. Okay, so Oregon doesn't collect sales tax. Montana doesn't collect sales tax. So they're, you know, they're not in this at all. The places that Amazon has actually negotiated deals that will delay the collection of sales tax. So these states plan on collecting it, but they are not collecting it yet. And this is states like California, Nevada, Texas, Illinois, or no, not Illinois, Indiana, sorry. Tennessee is one of them. You've got South Carolina, Virginia. This is testing my knowledge of the states, by the way, because I'm doing this on a map that has no state names. And I think this little bitty orange dot here is New Jersey, I'm pretty sure. It's right underneath New York, so yeah, it's probably New Jersey. Hey, I didn't know this. New Hampshire doesn't collect sales tax. Huh. Interesting. Now, here is the bad list. This is a list of states that actually are collecting sales tax on Amazon purchases right now. Washington. Boo. North Dakota. You have like three people living in your state. Why do you need sales tax? Boo. Same thing here. Kansas. Have you ever driven to Kansas, Sam?
Sadly, yes.
See, nope. Now, I rephrase. Have you ever driven to Kansas?
Oh, like intentionally?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Okay.
It's always been accidental.
People drive through Kansas. They don't drive to Kansas. There's sunflowers and a Hershey chocolate factory. That is it.
Mm-hmm.
I hate Kansas so much. I drive to Colorado a lot. And
I do on my way back through. I do stock up on a lot of corn because they do have a lot of cornfields, and it's really really cheap there.
Well, yeah, because that's all there is. Like the whole way you go. Like,
corn and wheat.
What is that? Is that a different vegetable? Oh no, it's just younger corn. let's see. What's another one here? We've got Kentucky. Why they're collecting Amazon sales tax, I'm not sure. New York. That one I can understand because they're huge. And I guarantee you there's so many people who are ordering stuff at New York that, I mean, who wants to go outside New York, you know? I'm just saying. It's bigger than Chicago, and I didn't want to go outside in Chicago. So there you go. All the rest of the states that weren't named are not collecting sales tax right now at all. Missouri is one of those.
As of yet.
So, yay! If they start collecting sales tax, I'm going to get really pissed off really fast. So, all right. That is our show for this week. Sam, why don't you tell people where they can find, follow, and stalk you?
You can find me on Gmail at the Manitou Man, or the Manitou Man at gmail.com, Twitter at the Manitou Man. On here, Sam Briggs at 8daysofgeek.com, Facebook, Sam Briggs, Guy in the Kilt. There's now like 1,000 different social networking things I'm supposed to make profiles of. I might do that this morning before going into work. If Jesse wants to send me the links to all the stuff that he wants me to set up.
Oh, man.
Well, mostly just the one for the website. And because I think you wanted me to fix that or update that. And I can do the about.me. That's an easy one to remember.
Isn't it, though?
Yep, and I'm going to put two things on there.
Well, yeah.
I'm creating a third thing to put two things public. I don't know. This doesn't seem like the most effective use of my time.
Not really. Social networking is never a good use of time.
No.
It doesn't matter who you are or what you do for a living. It's never a good use of time. I'm always like, when a new social network comes out, there's a part of me that's the geek who's like, yeah, good, a new thing to try. And then there's the part of me that's the, you know, the rational human being that says, crap, one more website I got to go to before I can actually work on the internet now. Because I have to, every time I log in, I got to go check everything. And if somebody would come up with an aggregator that would allow you to see the notifications on every single social networking site you have on a simple web page, one simple web page, that would be amazing.
Did you check out Pains by Inglorious Apps?
See, I don't want the Tweet Deck stuff where it has different, you know, windows for different things and all that. I want just a list of notifications, you know, where it says this person mentioned you, this person wants to be your friend, this person plus one, this one shared a video, this one blah 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 blah. Because then I can just go through, and then I want things where I can mute people. I can just say this person's completely unimportant to me and I never want to hear from them again. And then I'll never get a notification for that person ever again. I know it's a lot to ask. I'm a fringe.
I'll say this is it actually
I'm a fringe case.
All the APIs are public for that stuff. So in reality, the app would be completely and totally feasible.
Well, guys, get on that, would you? Come on. All right, I guess it's my turn. You can find me on Twitter at Pen of Doom. You can email me, jesse@8daysofgeek.com. The easiest way to find all of my information is to go about.me/Jesse Miller and just look until your heart's content. All of my stuff is there. You can go to the website and check out our C2E2 2012 coverage. We've got all kinds of pictures. We know you guys like pictures. A couple articles. Read Tim's article, Tim Blacksmith's article about his whole run through of the C2E2 experience. It's actually a pretty good article. It describes his entire day, like in a timeline. It's pretty funny. So, guys, join us next week where we talk about more tech news and try to chew it up and spit it out in edible little bites for you. And thanks for joining us. Say goodbye, Sam.
Goodbye, Sam.
You're finally learning.